All right, let us bow our heads one more time and then we'll transition into the Word of God for this morning. Amen. Let's go before the throne. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we do thank you, appreciate you, love you, and honor you. God, we're asking that you would bless this moment, bless this preaching moment. God, allow there to be grace and wisdom and revelation. Allow the people to be eternally touched and blessed. God, hide me beneath the cross. God, think through my mind and speak through my mouth. God, let it be all of you and less of me so that the people can be blessed. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, with our Bibles in our hands, repeating after me, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. Now, if you believe you're going to be fed, go ahead and make some noise. Glory to God. We are grateful for another opportunity, the second Sunday of the new year. And having said that, what God gave me, it is the same theme. Even though we are moving along in January, it's still a new year. There's still newness to it. And so I want to talk from the topic and title of The Way Forward. The way forward. It is rather important to know the way forward. I had something interesting happen to me in my newer vehicle. I asked it to give me directions somewhere, and the directions were way out of pocket. I know Muncie enough to know that this isn't right. I was actually pulling out of Chick-fil-A, and it says make a right on Riverside. No, Chick-fil-A is on McGalliard, so this doesn't match. I knew the GPS was doing something wrong, but I knew enough about the area to know I was being led wrong. The problem is when you don't know where you are, you really can't chart the way forward. And so in this new year, we don't want you to get lost like people do when it's April, when it's May, when it's October. This is January, so we want you to know the way forward. Somebody say the way forward.
The way forward.
All right, having said that, this would be a subtitle, and the subtitle is this, it's language for the journey. There is, for every journey, there is a certain level of language that accompanies every journey. Let me just give you an example. I see Sister Ella here and her wonderful uncle, a man of God. I see them here. But they just on yesterday had to bury a loved one. And when you're dealing with death and grief, there's certain language that accompanies that, like condolences, like funeral, like obituary. There's language that describes the journey you're on. I'll give you another example, the example of a young lady who's with child. She talks about baby monitors and cribs and warming up a bottle. Language describes journey. That's why it's very important that your language isn't very negative, because if you have negative language, it's a possibility your journey will be negative as well. Let me just give you another example of just language. Sometimes a wife may drop some language to give a hint. It's, I smell flesh flowers. I smell chocolate. I smell date night. There's some language she's trying to drop to the husband to pick up on. I want a different journey. In other words, tonight, I don't want to be in my flannel pajamas. Take me somewhere. Do something with me. Every journey has language that describes the journey. And so for this way forward in 2026, I want to give you some language that will help you on this journey. I don't want you to be aimless. I want you to have the proper language. So in order to do this, I'm going to break it down into 11 words. 11 words with scriptures to help you best shape this new year. The reason why I'm choosing 11 words is today is January the 11th. It is 1-1-1-1-11. So I'm going to give you 11 words that help you shape the journey. I'm going to give you some language that you need that's going to help you move forward. And the problem with many of us in New Year's is we only choose January language. Well, I got a new resolution, or I'm going to fast in January. Many churches fast in January, and that's the last time they fast. So I'm not trying to give you language to just stop. I'm trying to give you language for the move forward, for the journey forward. I want to start you so that you can move forward. Back in the day when I was young, when before all this technology came out, sometimes they would give you a little toy in the Happy Meal, and in order to get the toy going, you had to wind it up. And if you wound it up a little, it would only move a little. But if you wound it up a lot, it would move a lot. So what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to give you language that'll wind you up, that'll carry you throughout the rest of the year. I don't want you to fizzle out. I don't want you to flame out. I don't want you to die out so early. Have you ever met people that are excited January 1? By February 1, they've already lost their hope. All the plans are gone. I don't want y'all to be like that. I want you to have a move forward, a way forward. I want to set a pathway. I want to put a battery pack in your body. I want to be you to be like the Energizer Bunny. I want you to keep going and going and going. Don't need you to fizzle out just yet. All right. So having said that, we're going to roll. Now, Mother Mitchell, we've been having an issue with one of our mics, so I'm going to do all the reading today. She'll get another break. But maybe we will incorporate her back next week. So let's start off with the first word. The first word is this. Put it up. It's information. So the first word is information. Information is very important. They say we are in the technological age, but before the technological age came, there was what they called the age of information. And they're putting the two together. Information and technology are very important. And I've shared this before, and I'll say it again in a moment after we read this scripture. Let's look at Hosea 4:6. It says this, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I also reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." All right, so let me say it really, really plain. It is too late in the day for us to be ignorant. There's too much information available. And so in order for us to move forward, we need to take advantage of the information that is around us. There came a time in the old days, in the days of slavery, where only the preacher had a level of reading. So the people who came to listen, they had to trust what the preacher say. But we're in a day and age where you can stop right while I am preaching and Google what I'm talking about. There is no reason for you to be led astray. There's no reason for the blind to lead the blind. There's too much information. There's too much knowledge. There's too many resources for you to not know what's going on, for you not to fact check people. One thing that bothers me about politicians in this day and age, they will say one thing one month and say another thing another month, like you don't have video on them saying what they said. No, I didn't say that. Yes, you did. I got too much information for you to lie to me. But some people, they like to be blinded. They choose willful ignorance, but if you're going to move forward, you're going to have to avail yourself to information. Somebody say information. All right, we're going to give you the same verse, but in a different version. The next version says it this way. And here it is, that second version says this: my people are being destroyed because they don't know me. Since you priests refuse to know me, I refuse to recognize you as my priest. Since you have forgotten the laws of your God, I will forget to bless your children. This is makes it very clear. We're not just talking about any information. You need the information about God. It's time out that atheists know more about your God than you know about your God. So avail yourself to the information. In other words, learn about God. Get close to God. Get next to God. The scripture says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Not just listen to what the preacher says, but study on your own so you have some information, some language for your journey. Because what's very interesting is that when I'm preaching to all of you at once. But God has a personal word for you that you may not get on Sunday morning. So you're going to have to take some time to get some information, because the scripture says knowledge of the Holy One is important. So you got to get next to God. God wants to talk to you. He wants to tell you about himself, and that information can save your life, can change your life, and can revolutionize your life. One word from God can make all the difference. All right. So let's move right along. Information, we're going from information to inspiration. We don't want just regular information, because the Bible says knowledge puffs up. Have you ever met a smart dummy? They got a lot of information, but they don't have any common sense. They can't hardly put two and two together. Nothing like a person that got degrees behind their name, but don't know how to make simple choices. So I don't want just aimless information. I want information that's going to inspire me, that's going to put the battery in my pack, that's going to keep me going. So information about God is what inspires me. Have you ever had a word from God just jump off the page? I done read it several times, but this day it just jumps off the page. It inspires me. Have you ever got happy just over the word? I'm not talking about you're at church and they beat the drum and the tambourine and the organ. I'm talking about you just with your cup of coffee in the morning, you run across a scripture that just jumps and grabs you, that inspires you. I don't want you just to have information. I want you to have some inspiration. I want you to be inspired. I want you to be set ablaze. I want you to be turned on. I want you to be turned up a notch by the information that you get. Let's look at this scripture here, Revelations 22 and 6. It says this: the angel said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God who inspires the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. This is always all the way at the end of the Bible, the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22. But it lets us know that the prophets were inspired. It wasn't just empty words. And let me say this, I've said it before, let me say it again. If you keep coming to this church and I don't have any inspiration for you, you probably need to find another church. Because what you don't want is a dead preacher preaching dead stuff to you so you can stay dead. No, you need somebody that's going to stir you up. You need somebody that'll light you a fire. You need somebody that cares about the things of God, that can inspire you, that when you are weak, somebody that can reach and strengthen you. When you are low, someone that can just boost you up. Have you ever had a friend that when you get around them, even if you want to be down, you just can't be down, because they inspire you, they lift you up, they give you something. So you want information, but you want some inspiration. Inspire me, light me up. All right, now we got to move on. So these are actually random words, but I'm going to make them all make sense. So we go from information to inspiration. But if you just have inspiration, it's not going to do you any good. We need to take it to this. Go ahead and flash it up for me. We need to take it to application. So the inspirational information, it does you no good until you apply it. many of you, you have key fobs in your pocket. And you go to your car, and a lot of you have the push button start. I don't care how long you sit in the car with the key fob on you. If you don't push the start button, you're not going anywhere. So you're going to have to apply. And there's a problem with a lot of Christians. They have a lot of inspirational information, but they don't do anything with it. Have you ever met somebody who can tell you what to do, but they never done it themselves? You ever met a husband that can tell other folk how to be a good husband but won't do it with their own wife? You ever heard a wife that can tell all the women how to keep a man but she won't do the same stuff there? You've got to apply it for it to make some sense. So take the information and the inspiration and you make it some application. See, it is my job to inform you, and it's my job to inspire you, but it's not my job to do the work for you. When you walk out the doors, it is your job to apply what I've informed you of and inspired you of. You've got to go ahead and apply it. Let's look at what Jesus said. Jesus makes it very plain in Matthew 7:24. He says it this way: anyone who listens to my teaching and following it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. They listen and they follow. Then the next verse says this: though the rain comes in the torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on a bedrock. It has a substratum, it has a foundation, and it is the foundation of application. You can't beat a person who applies it. You can't beat a person who takes information and makes it applicable to their life. They learn how to do stuff. I've met some people who give me credit for stuff that I don't even remember. They say, man, Pastor Andre, you told me such and such, and I did it, and now my business is booming. I'm like, I told a whole bunch of people that. But the reason why your business is booming because you applied it in a different way. You took it to heart. In other words, the scripture says we listen to do, not listen so we can call, woo, Trish, I heard a good word. Ooh, I heard a good word. Hearing ain't enough, baby. You got to put some action behind what you heard. And it is the results that let me know you didn't just hear, but you actually apply. So application is very important, and that's going to lead me to my next point, which is very important. Number four, we're already moving very long. That's where you have revelation. See, when the information and the inspiration becomes application, now you have revelation. There are certain people that walk in different levels of revelation because they have applied it to their life. And so they can move in a way that's just different. Let me talk about some of the older saints. Some of the older saints, they didn't say a whole lot, but it meant a whole lot because they had revelation behind what they're saying. There was this lady on the news, and I think she was like 105 years old, and the newscaster asked her and said, how did you stay alive all these years? She said, God is good. She said, God is good. I'm like, well, that's not really a whole lot of information. No, see, she has revelation. The revelation she has is, I couldn't have made it this long if it wasn't for the goodness of God. So I can't give you point one, point two, point three. All I can say is God is good. When I lost my husband, God was good. When I almost lost my mind, God was good. When they fired me on the job, God was good. And because she was 105 years old, that meant she saw all the racism and she saw all the suffering. But through it all, God was good. See, there's a revelation. Some people say God is good, and other people have a revelation. I have revelation down through the years. God's been so good to me. So I really don't have time to tell it all to you. All I can say, it's all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been good. I can't really explain it because it's a revelation.
And when you have revelation, you move in such a way that it just touches folk around you.
I see my brother standing, but the first time I met him and shook his hand, there was just revelation there. It was just something. I knew he was a man of God. They told me he was a man of God, but when I touched him, I knew he was a man of God because I felt revelation. I need you to have so much revelation that when you show up in a space, everybody knows there's something different about her. There's something different about him because I've had so much application. It's now revelation. It is being revealed. It is being shown. It is being seen. I don't have articulation, but I have revelation. I can't tell you why I still serve God. All I can tell you is God is good. I can't tell you why I didn't quit. All I can tell you is God is good. Well, weren't you divorced? Yes, but God is good. Weren't you depressed? Yes, but God is good. I've got revelation. And once you get to the place of revelation, no demon or devil in hell can make you back off of what you believe. I can't explain it. All I can tell you is that God has been with me.
So that revelation becomes vitally important. Let's look further. Let's look at Psalms 119, 129. It says this, your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. So that is the keeping of the word of God. That is the application. But then when you look at the next verse, it says this, the entrance of your word gives light and it gives understanding to the simple. There was a scripture, it's not in my notes, but I'll just go ahead and quote it. There's a time where the disciples were doing things and they said, these are ignorant and unlearned men. But they've got revelation. They've been with Jesus. They've applied what he told them. In other words, I can go above my education. I can go above the level of my promotion. I can go above my last name because I've got revelation. I done some stuff I shouldn't have been doing, but because of the revelation of God, because the entrance of thy word, it brings illumination. It brings light. I know stuff that I shouldn't know. I'm doing stuff that I shouldn't do. I'm going places that I shouldn't go, but it's because the hand of God is on my life, and the revelation just puts you a couple cut above. I was watching a cooking show years ago, and there's a lady called Mama Dip that was a bad cooker from down south. And so they put her on TV, and they were asking her, what's your recipe? She said, babe, I don't have no recipe. They were like, well, how do you mess it up? She said, no, I just do a pinch here, a pinch there. I can't explain to you, but I got a revelation. There's enough salt. It's enough paprika. I don't need no recipe. I got it down on the inside. And they finally stopped asking her how to do it and just start tasting it, saying, it's good. I can't explain it. It's just good. I can't figure it out. It's just good. Why do you praise the way you pray? Because the revelation that I have. Revelation is very important. All right, now I'm going to keep us going a little bit because we're getting there. And so let's give us number five. Number five is celebration. See, people who have revelation, you can't stop their celebration. You look at folk and say, you shouldn't be smiling the way you smile, but the revelation that I have can't stop me from celebrating. I can't help but praise the Lord. Even if I don't want to praise the Lord, I got a praise down on the inside. I got too much revelation to not praise the Lord. I got too much revelation to not come to church. I got too much revelation to not lift my hand. I got too much revelation to not give a dance every now and then. I know too much. So it's a celebration for me. I'm celebrating. Even when it's not Sunday morning, I'm celebrating on Monday. What I loved about living with my father and my mother, but I'll speak of him since he's gone. What I loved about him that really touched me is that the praise that he had, it left the building. And it would go home. I'd be walking through the house and I would just see him in his bed, stick his hands up and say, God, I love you. I'm like, oh, this ain't a performance you do for the people at church. This is something that's down in your spirit. Now, this is how I knew it was really, really real. It's because when I got a little older and I would help in ministry, we had Friday night service. And Friday night service, wasn't a whole lot of folk at Friday night service. It was real thin. It'd get down to 5, 6, 7 people. If you had 12 folk there, that was a packed house for Friday night. But Friday night was pastor's offering. And since there wasn't a lot of people there, then that meant the money was a little low. And so I was counting the offering. And I think the offering came up to like $12 or something. Now, this was a couple of years ago. $12 goes a little bit longer, but it still didn't do a whole lot. And so I gave him the thing, and he put it in his pocket and went on about his way. And then when we got home, he pulled it out of his pocket and he opened it up. And I'm looking at him. I'm like, it ain't nothing but $12 in there. And he went to praising like it was $400 in there. I'm like, what's wrong with him? Can't he count? But what he was letting me know, my praise is not predicated on my circumstance. Everything don't have to go the way I want it to go for me to praise the Lord. I'm praising him because this is 12 more than I used to have. I may not have a steak. I may just have a bologna, but it's still a bologna. I'm still eating, so I'm still praising God. When you have a revelation, it can't stop your celebration. And here's the thing that sometimes God will test us with. If you can praise me over the little, that lets me know I can bless you with some more. If you can't thank me for the 12, I can't give you the 12,000. But if you can praise me in the 12, you're letting me know I can elevate you to something else. This is not in the notes, but let me go ahead and let you know. Sometimes your celebration determines your elevation. All right. Let's look at Psalms 95:2. It says this, let us come before his presence with a bowed down head and all stressed out. No. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us be quiet. No, let us shout joyfully to him with songs. I tell you all the time, I don't mind quiet church, but every now and then I just can't keep quiet because God's been too good to me. Sometimes I want to be dignified, and sometimes I want to accident it because my suit looks cute. But baby, let me let you know, I'll pull off my weave if I have to. My eyelashes will go if I have to. I got to praise the Lord because I know too much about him. He's been too good to me for me to sit down and act like he hasn't done what he's done. I got breath in my body, and the Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So I'm sorry, I can't help it. I can't help but celebrate because God is God and God is good. When I'm hurting, he's good. When I'm tired, he's good. When I'm sick, he's good. When I'm broke, he's good. I can't help but praise the Lord. Folk ought to look at you and think you're crazy because they look at your circumstance, but you keep on praising the Lord. My sister texted me this morning, and some things were going on, and she couldn't come to the house of God today, so she let me know. A lot of people, they do that when they can't make it. They let me know. But I was thinking about her, and there was a season after she got divorced. There was a season where it was real rough for her. And one of the things that she would let me know privately, and she was like, I did what it took to not have babies out of wedlock and to not be a single mother. I got married. I did it the way the church said, but now I'm divorced and I'm a single mother anyway. It don't seem fair. It don't seem right. And I would talk to her and I would pray with her. But whenever she showed up to church, she didn't let what she was feeling stop her from praising. Some of y'all know her story. She's married now. But here's the thing. It is what you do in the dark times that qualifies you for what God will do when the light comes. So celebration is important. Let's move on. Let me give you another verse. This is one of my favorite verses here. It says, this is the day that the Lord has made. we will rejoice and be glad in it. That means it's an act of your will. I'm going to praise him anyhow. I'm going to praise him anyhow. Well, it ain't Sunday. I'm praising him anyhow. Well, you lost a loved one. I'm praising him anyhow. Who you voted for didn't get in office. I'm praising him anyhow. I will rejoice because I understand the revelation has led me to celebration.
All right. Now we're going to turn the corner. I got another word. We're about halfway there. Go ahead and flash this word up for me. Here's the word is participation. Now, many of you right now, you are participating but celebrating, but I want to turn a corner on you. So let's say on next Monday, you make it to Miami to go watch the Indiana National Championship versus the Miami Hurricanes, the Hoosiers versus the Hurricanes. And let's say Indiana scores a goal. And you say, hey, I'm going to run down on the field, and I'm going to celebrate with them. And guess what they're going to do? They're going to jump on you. They're going to arrest you. They're going to kick you out. Because you're not at the right level of participation to have celebration. Let me turn a corner here. There are some people that want to celebrate, but they haven't participated. So God says, no, you can't celebrate when you haven't participated. Let me be honest. Sometimes our family members, when we were trying to build our business, they laughed at us. They talked about us. But when we get blessed and get money, oh, I always believed in you. No. Keep your late celebration over there because you never participated. You'll buy Jordans, but you can't buy my little $5 thing that I was trying to give. You talked about me like a dog. I love you, but your level of participation keeps you from celebration. And let me add, there are some saints that want to celebrate when God blesses the church and you on the church roll, but we ain't seen you in 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. And then when the church get blessed, that's my pastor, that's my church. Now, you're not at the right level of participation. Let me keep on going. There are some people, they want to participate when it's easy. See, it's easy to celebrate right now, Sunday morning in church, but when somebody says, we're gonna come and we're going to clean up the church and run the sweeper, watch how many people back out. I'm tired, ain't got nothing to do that. No. You participate on this level, and then you expect God to let you celebrate on that level. No, it don't work like that. It needs true participation for you to have celebration. Let me go. We read Matthew 7, but we're gonna back up a little and see something else Jesus says in Matthew 7. Verse 20 says this. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. I'm gonna add another word that's not in the notes. It's the word sanctification. Ooh, I'm sanctified. No. Scripture says sanctification ain't what you wear. It ain't what you say, it's how you act. You may be sanctified, but like our founder used to say, if you mean as a backyard bulldog, then maybe you really don't have salvation like you think you do, because your actions show me what level you're on. So Jesus said, all you got to do is you can see a tree by the fruit that it bears. One thing I've noticed, and when I was growing up, my neighbor had an apple tree, and they used to hang over on our side of the fence, and apples would drop. I never went over there and got a grapefruit because it was an apple tree. If you plant apples, you're going to produce apples. So you can't plant evil and then produce righteousness. It don't work like that. Now, you can trick people until the fruit shows up. You can tell me I'm an apple tree, but when the grapefruit show up, that's when I know you're lying. You can tell me I've been saved.
All day and no evil have I done. But when I seen your name in Star Press for how you've been robbing folks, stealing from folks, I realized that what you've been talking don't match up to what you've been doing. That's enough of that. Verse 22. This ain't my words. This is Jesus' words. This is what he says. He says, on judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. We went to Deliverance Temple. We gave. We confessed when they confessed. Look at the next verse, verse 23. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law. In other words, say, you never really participated with me. So you can't celebrate with the rest of the folk because you don't have this level of access because I never knew you. You don't have the backstage pass. You can't get there. I'm going to the Beyonce concert. I'm getting ready to go take a picture with Beyonce. No, you're not. You don't have the right level of access. But when you have the right level of access and somebody tries to stop you, all you got to do is show them your access. That way, when the devil tries to stop you from celebration, all you got to show them is your participation. No, you can't stop me because I've been in this thing a long time. All right, let's move even further. So, because that could sound pretty bad, but it's not really a bad thing because of number seven. Number seven says this. Is restoration. So even if you don't have the right level of participation right now, thank God for a God of restoration. And this is why I'm preaching this to you early in the year, because if you're not lining up, you still got time to make some adjustments. All right, so now we're going to restoration. Look at what Acts 3:19 says. It says this, now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Now I know y'all ain't never done this before, but let me talk about myself. I've been so dumb in the past that I've tried to hide my sins from God, who saw them when I did it, saw it when I fought it, saw everything from the beginning to the end. So why am I hiding it from him and he already know about it? So instead of me hiding, I might as well just face the music and say, God, I'm sorry. God, I messed up. God, I need some restoration. There was an old song that said, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord. I'm standing in the need of prayer. It's not my mama, it's not my brother, not my grandma. It's me, oh Lord. Deliver me from saints that hear messages for somebody else. Ooh, so-and-so should have heard. No, it ain't about what so-and-so should have heard. You got to hear. The Bible says the day you hear his voice, harden not your heart. So if you need restoration, thank God you go to a place called Deliverance Temple where you can get some deliverance and get some restoration. And you're not too big and bad to say, God, I'm sorry. All right, let's move on. Verse 20. Then it says this, it says, then, which is a timing word, then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. So when you repent, then you can get refreshed. All right, let's move and read another verse that's really important, two more important verses, but here's this verse. It says this, for he must remain in heaven until the time for the final restoration of all things as God promised long ago through his holy prophets. All right, Pastor Andre, it don't make a whole lot of sense because you're saying that God will restore me, but then you're saying that Jesus is going to stay in heaven until everything gets restored. So how do I get restored? I got another verse for you that's going to help you. It's a powerful verse. Look at Galatians 6:1. It says this, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, talk about them like a dog. Oh, that ain't what it said. It said, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. This is so beautiful how God has set it up. When you're weak, somebody in the church ought to be strong. So when you mess up, somebody who's strong ought to be able to restore you and help you up. Sister Teresa, I know you fell off the path, but here I am to get you back on the path. I want to be like GPS for Teresa. I want to reroute you. I want to help you make the U-turn. But they say sometimes the church and the kingdom is the only one who kills their wounded. If you fall, I step on you while you're down. No. I restore, because there's coming a time, or there's been a time when I was down. I'm up right now, but there was a time when I was down. So I'm picking you up, and hopefully when it's my turn, you'll pick me up. Deliver me from saints that when you was crying, I gave you a shoulder, but when I'm crying, I can't find you. Now, I'm not going to stay on this too long, but they talk about church hurt, and church hurt is a real thing, how people hurt folk in the church and how leadership hurt folk in the church. But they don't talk a whole lot how the people in the pews hurt the leaders. Now, when I kept your secret, but when you found something out about me, or you thought you did, you told everybody around town. But wait a second, if the pastor got to hold your stuff, why can't you hold his stuff? I don't want to
go too far,
but I found some stuff about me that I never did that folk said I did, and when I look at how did I even get misconstrued, it made me think that might have came from right on the inside, because not everybody saying amen is really with you. Oh no, let me say this: they with you until you say something they don't like. Oh, they with you till your wife do something they don't like. Then all of a sudden, it's get a little rough. But you don't worry about that. You keep on moving on. But the human side make you wonder, how is it going to be? And here's the thing about life: sometimes the folk that talked about you like a dog, they end up needing you later on. Sometimes the same one that lied on you, 8 months later, they got to call you, my cousin's in ICU. Can you show up? Can you come by? Oh, let me tell you, sometimes the flesh will say, no, pray for your cousin yourself. You're lying. No, that ain't what you can say. You got to step up. Church hurt goes both ways, though. Oh, but let me bring it on home, though. But. Church hurt, they only in the world, they only talk about the church being judgmental. But they don't tell you how the world will be judgmental. The world will talk about church folk like a dog, but the moment the church say something about them, ooh, I can't come back to church. Everybody judging, everybody's so sedentary. But you judge everybody all the time. Just because they go to the club don't mean they're dancing the whole time. Sometimes they dancing and gossiping and talking a whole bunch of stuff. So this hurt goes a long way. And so guess what? We all need restoration. All right, let's move on. This one I'm going to give us a definition for. We're getting close. This is calibration. Let me give you a definition for this and then a story. So I think I have the wrong definition up here. I actually have the wrong definition, so I'm going to go ahead and tell you what it is. Calibration is based on a standard. So you try to calibrate something based on a standard. So what I just told you is we all need restoration. None of us are perfect. And the hurt goes both ways, not just in the church, but it's out there in the world. So we need a standard to look up to. So that's why when we were putting up our screens and stuff, I said, one thing I don't want you to do, I don't want you to block the cross. So the screen, they said the screen will look better if you put it in the middle. I said, no, I don't want you to block the cross, because when I'm preaching, I want people to still be able to see the cross, because the cross is still the standard. So let me give you a story that happened when I was working in Muncie at the General Motors plant in Muncie. I ran a whole bunch of scrap. I'm talking about scrap that should have got me in a whole lot of trouble. And so the next day I came in, they was like, you ran like 200, almost 300 pieces of scrap. And so I was nervous. And then they came back to me and they said, guess what you got out of it? I was like, how did I get out of it? They said that the job setter who set up the job, he left the wrong gauge up there. So it was calibrated to the wrong thing. So even though it was bad, it wasn't your fault. Somebody put the wrong standard there. And so according to the bad parts you ran, they were correct, but it was the wrong standard. Oh, let me tell you something. If you trust the Pope, you might be with the wrong standard. If you trust the Republicans and the Democrats, you might be the wrong standard. If you trust in IU Health and General Motors, you might have the wrong standard. If you're trusting in Pastor Andre Mitchell, you might have the wrong standard. There is a standard that's higher than all standards. And the Bible says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. You need the standard that is Jesus Christ, that is Yeshua. It is the Savior of the world. They call him Mary's baby that was put in the manger. He is the standard. And as long as you have the right standard, everything's going to be okay. Let me give you another quick example. Seamstress, they sew according to a pattern. So if I tell a seamstress or a tailor, I want you to make me a suit, and they pull out a dress pattern, when they cut, it's not going to come out like a suit. It's going to come out like a dress because they have the wrong pattern. They have the wrong standard. That's why you got to be careful who you follow. You got to be careful who you look up to, because if they have the wrong standard, then you would gauge yourself to the wrong standard. That's why Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. I've said it before, and I even said it in this message. I'll say it again. When I stop following Christ, you stop following me. Because the standard's important. So let's go ahead and look at it according to Romans 12:2. Very familiar scripture says this, and do not be conformed to or fashioned after or cut after this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me tell on myself. Sometimes when I wake up, first thing I do, I don't say thank you, Jesus. First thing I do is grab this. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. Oh, then I got to realize, oh, wait a second, I ain't talked to God yet. My bad, God. Let me put this down. Now, here's the thing. I do read the word. So at least when I come across something that's off, I judge it according to the standard. You got to be careful that you're not being conformed to the world and don't even know it. Ain't nothing wrong with Netflix, but if you have more Netflix than you have scriptures, you might be conformed to something you don't want to be conformed to. So you got to be very careful what pattern you're being cut after, what pattern you're following. Let's look here at Romans 8:29. It says this, for whom he foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, some of y'all who know me know how I voted, so I try not to say too much in the pulpit unless God leads me. But let me say this. There are a lot of pastors that are being conformed into Donald Trump and not conformed into Jesus Christ, because they are looking at him as some type of savior. It's so funny. I don't mean to say too much, but it's so funny how when Obama wore a tan suit, the world was going to go to hell because he wore a tan suit. But Donald Trump can do anything, say anything, and act any way, and somehow he's God's man. I wonder what. Are you being conformed to? Are you being conformed to an ideology? Are you being conformed to God? And I hate to say it this way, but it's the truth. But many people are conformed to white supremacy, and they're not conformed to God. Oh, but I ain't got time to deal with that. I ain't got time to stay into that. but be careful. And there's some people that I enjoy that I sent money to, some TV preachers that I will no longer support, I will no longer watch, because now you are talking more politics than you're talking Bible, and I can't allow you to make me conform to something I ain't supposed to be conformed to. Now, look, listen, vote how you want to vote, but don't put somebody up as a savior. I only got one savior. And if his name ain't Jesus, then I am not a lock, stock, and barrel going with anybody. Even somebody I voted for, if it's not Jesus, that's the standard. All right, let's move on. And so this is important. We're really close, coming to a close. Number nine, here it is. Aggravation. So let's say you done all this other stuff I'm talking about. You made some mistakes and you got restoration and you done got recalibrated to the things of God. It's 2026. You on fire for God. Let me warn you that the devil is coming with some aggravation. I talked to you about celebration. Listen, you can celebrate on Sunday and go through hell on Monday. Because we have a real enemy, and when he can't stop you, he tries to irritate you. When he can't make you quit, he tries to aggravate you. They'll just put somebody on your job. The laziest person on the job, they'll pair them up with you. Just to aggravate you. Just things happen. You'll be leaving on time for work, just doing well, and catch every red light. The person who's driving in front of you act like they're going to a Sunday picnic, just taking their time. They'll be going down the highway driving 50, just in your way. It's designed to aggravate you. Let me tell you something that me and my wife have been dealing with my whole home ever since the turn of the new year. It happened at the end of last year. Our downstairs furnace went out. So we've been cold. Now, we have an upstairs furnace where, thank God we have that, where we sleep at. But coming downstairs, we've been cold. Just cold. The sink messed up, backed up. And I've been off of work, so I've been trying to be handyman, fixing stuff, trying stuff, looking up Chat GPT and YouTube. I've been working stuff, and guess what? Stuff still been failing, still been messing up. We had people come check the furnace, tell us this is the problem, and then that didn't work. And then somebody else come back and say, no, that ain't the problem. This is the problem. That didn't work. Then we had somebody yesterday come and finally figured out the problem, and ooh, we finally had heat for 2 hours. Then it cut back off. Then I had to call the man, come back out. Here's the thing, it's aggravation. It's the devil just trying to aggravate you. Then I told you my new car, it just started acting funny. It don't have enough miles to be acting funny the way it was. I took my mother to Gary and we stopped for our charging session because it's an electric charging session. It charged up well. Everything's going on. Then I started driving up. I was like, Mama, ain't no heat coming out of here. So for the rest of the drive, now the heater don't work. It's aggravation. Here's the thing. The devil is coming to aggravate you. And if you don't understand that, and you don't know how to stand, and you don't know how to fight, and you don't know how to go through stuff, it'll make you check out. It'll make you quit. It'll make you give up. But I don't want you to be wishy-washy Christians. I want you to understand aggravation is a part of the battle. Sometimes you gotta cry and pray. Sometimes you gotta pray and trust and hope and do everything you can. Sometimes you gotta pray and spend some money. The reason why I was trying to fix it myself so I didn't have to spend so much money. So I bought parts and still had to spend some money. Sometimes it costs, but don't let it stop you. Because this is the path forward. Because if he can't stop you going forward, what he tried to do, he tried to get you go over to the side. All right, let's put up a scripture. Daniel 7:25 says this, he shall speak words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. This is prophetic that Daniel was saying, and shall think to change the times and the law, and they shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. It says the devil's coming, and his job If he can't stop you, his job is to wear you out. And like Job, sometimes God allows it. It's not, God don't always stop it. Because this is what he's trying to tell you. The information and the inspiration and the revelation and the celebration and the restoration and all that, it's enough to handle the aggravation. So what God does, sometimes he steps aside and he don't do nothing. And sometimes you wonder, why hasn't God stepped in? Why hasn't God fixed it? Let me explain it to you like this. My daughter is in the seventh grade, and she's 12 years old. And if a 13-year-old girl pushes her down, I don't run and go beat up the 13-year-old girl, because the 13-year-old girl is not on my level. So what I do, let me tell you the PC answer. The PC answer is I tell her to contact the principal and let them know somebody's bullying her. But let me tell you the Andre answer. I teach her how to whoop her herself. If she puts your hands on you again, I'm going to give you the tools to fight for yourself. And this is what God is saying. I know the aggravation is coming, but I'm not going to stop it. I'm going to teach you how to stand up to that devil yourself. Look that devil in his eye and tell him, you're not going to stop me from being everything God called me to be. Because what God has for me, it is for me. I'm not backing up. I'm not quitting. I'm not losing hope. I'm going forward. This is the way forward. So what you're going to have to do, you're going to have to shape up or ship out. Because nothing's stopping me from getting to the goal line. I'm going all the way. I'm preaching longer than I want. I'm getting ready to close. But let me tell you something. What's beautiful about this Indiana Hoosiers football team is they're winning. But you know what would be boring? If there was no opponent. I want them to win. But if they was just running and nobody was trying to stop them, that wouldn't be no fun. It's got to be an opponent. So the victory looks better. So devil, he's got to aggravate so that when God deals with him through us, it looks like a real victory and a real celebration. All right. So here's something I need you to put up there. This will help us. Got to get us out of here. Galatians 6:9. This is just so simple. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart or we do not faint. This ain't the season to quit. Keep going. All right. So here's, with that understanding, look at number 10. That's anticipation. So now just get your faith and your expectation up. Here, Hebrews 11:6 says this. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So God will reward, but not only will God reward, he will repay. And here's the last one. Here's the 11th one for January 11th, reparation. Let's give you a definition for reparation. Go ahead and put it up there for me. Here's the definition. The making of amends for a wrong one has done by paying money to or otherwise helping those who have been wrong. Sometimes the reason why God allows the aggravation to build up so he has more to pay back, because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And here's the final verse that I'm going to read. This is what it says, Joel 2:25. It brings even in the restoration. It says, the Lord says, I will give you back what you lost to the swarming locust, the hopping locust, the stripping locust, and the cutting locust. It was I who sent this great destroying army against you. In other words, it was I who let it come in because I had reparations on my mind. Let's look at the verse 26. Once again, you will have all the food you want. You will praise the Lord your God who does these miracles for you. And then it says this, never again will my people be disgraced. You're going to get so much payback that there'll be a never again. There's some stuff the devil will never be able to do to you again, because God is going to restore and to repay. So you done got to the way forward. I'm trying to let you know what the devil stole, what the devil did. He ain't going to be able to do it again, because this time was the last time. And this time you are going to conquer all. And the scripture says we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Let's stand to our feet. We'll confess this together. Here's our final confession. Working through this together. Here it is. Father God, repeat this, Father God. In this new season, I'm walking with you. From information to revelation. And if need be, from restoration through to reparations. I will have all you've planned for me, and the devil and his aggravations are all under my feet. Somebody stomp and say, under my feet. One more time, stomp. It's under my feet. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, these 11 words are going to help us move forward. But here's the final thing. Payback is coming our way. And so, God, we receive it. We thank you for it. We walk in it. And we look at the devil and let him know everything he's tried to do won't work in our lives. We are moving forward in Jesus' name. And let somebody say, amen. God bless you. We love you. If you need prayer for any reason, you can come.